Hello everyone and welcome to JFG tonight for a review of the news. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? I'm doing great. Today I've done some plumbing and oh my god, is that funny? It's really empowering to be able to bring water no matter where you want it. That's a superpower. And I've discovered the PEX plumbing. My god, this is perfect. No soldering. Just connectors and you squeeze the metal and it's all done. It's beautiful. I now feel that I can redo a full bathroom, although I've not gotten there yet. I think Saturday I'll have more time to do the complete project I want to do, which is to waterify the different sites of the garden, greenhouse, that kind of stuff, so that they can be automatically watered. It's going to be awesome. Do you want to lunch? Says, I'm going to plumb. Yes, I plumbed. And I discovered the ease of these little forceps for squeezing the PEX. It's amazing. You can make all sorts of connections. You can double. You can put T's. You can bring it wherever you want in the home. My God, that is what I've been dreaming of. And I've done that today. All right, let's get started. Night King says the 30-year-old plumber. Yes, I am a 38-year-old plumber. Musk says he has secured $46.5 billion in funding for Twitter bid. Elon Musk on Thursday said he has lined up $46.5 billion in debt and equity financing to buy Twitter Inc., and is considering taking his offer directly to shareholders, a filing with U.S. regulators showed. Musk himself has committed to put up $33.5 billion, which would include $21 billion of equity and $12.5 billion of margin loans against some of his Tesla Inc. shares to finance the transaction. He is chief executive officer of electric vehicle maker Tesla. Musk, the world's richest person, according to a tally by Forbes on April 14, presented a best and final cash offer of $43 billion to Twitter's board of directors, saying the social media company needs to be taken private to grow and become a platform for free speech. Wonderful. I think that Musk can get there, so there was a big question about whether he could free enough money and enough commitments. But with his shares, what he's going to do is he's going to be putting loans against those shares. And so it's not really money that he cashes out. And some company like JP Morgan or that kind of stuff, they will take the shares as a guarantee and loan him the money. That's beautiful. It means that Elon Musk seems, at least for now, he seems to be serious. I think there's a good chance he will succeed. Even if the board blocks his attempt, he can do a tender offer. He can say to whoever holds Twitter shares, I'm paying double the price, or I'm paying $54.20. And the people who hold these shares will be confronted with either I set it at a rebate. Why would people lose money if they can set it to Elon Musk? My dream is that Elon Musk will accomplish what he's set up to do and that we will be liberated on Twitter. Although, you know, I've been living well without Twitter. So I'm sad. I would be sad because that would force me back on Twitter. But perhaps I could treat Twitter like I do Gab and Parler, just a platform to not to interact with people, but just to display my videos, because in its current state, Twitter is not a place I would want to socialize with people. And anyways, when you really talk to intellectuals and you really have a point, they don't address it. They just ignore you. People have been doing that for years with my book, The Revolutionary Phenotype. No matter how much time I repeat that I have a theory of biology that's important, that deserves review, people just ignore it. I'm drinking Diet Coke that is cold by ice. That was made from my new fridge ice maker. Delicious, delicious. I've just connected my new ice maker with the plumbing stuff. I was able to bring it to a small tube because they wanted a 1/4-inch tube. And so that's what led to ice being produced. Firestarter says, sure hope the stream works today. Yes, it worked yesterday, I believe. So we had a problem 2 days ago. I think yesterday was fine. But some people had audio problem yesterday. That was weird. But that was just on the iPhone app, apparently. Bird Flu says, did you get banned or did you just end up leaving? I got banned from Twitter. Banned for spam and cheating of the platform. I've never done anything like this. Same thing for Keith Woods. They did the same thing. They started sending me messages during the night saying, we have detected weird activities on your Twitter account. Please confirm that you are yourself. And I was always responding to these things and putting my 2FA and showing that it was me and confirming that it was my right phone numbers, everything. I've done everything correct on this, but I think they just triggered a bunch of security measures to have an excuse to ban me. Probably when the new CEO showed up, Parag Agrawal, he probably told his crew, just go as hard as you can on anyone we've ever wanted to ban. And they probably had a folder on me that said, okay, we didn't ban him, but, you know, I was probably at the borderline of the algorithm. And when Parag Agrawal showed up, he took control of the company, and within weeks I was banned. So I think it comes from him. So I do hope that Musk is serious about his stuff, because it's a serious problem of democracy and public engagement, and also just the disappearance of the internet. I would want the internet to survive in the state that it has risen. And the state that it has risen was a free and open internet. I hope, therefore, that Elon Musk just goes scorched earth on Twitter, just fires everyone. Until freedom improves. That is what I want. If you'd like to support the show, use the cash button under the regular chat on Odyssey. Odyssey is now my favorite platform for super chats. It is great in terms of fees. It's perfect. So I'm progressively discontinuing Entropy. So I will not be saying words about Entropy anymore. It's not that I hate them or that they're not good. They're good for YouTube, but they haven't programmed an alternative for Odyssey. So we have to move toward Odyssey Super Chats. And by the way, I contacted them. Seems that what we discovered yesterday, Odyssey, it was a bug. I had set the hyper chat minimum to be 20 LBC, and they didn't know. But when you set it that way, when you set the maximum, the minimum LBC super chats, it also influences the USD super chats. So they told me it was a bug, and they'll be fixing it. So that's great to have a team like Odyssey that works on stuff that you tell them to improve. Today there was a major fire in Russia. Russia's largest chemical plant engulfed in flames hours after mystery fire at military research facility. The death toll in the massive fire that broke out earlier in the day at a sensitive Russian Defense Ministry research facility in the city of Tver has risen to 7, and after emergency crews battled the Thursday blaze throughout the afternoon. Look at this major fire. We still don't know if it's related to Ukraine in any way. it was kind of a military facility to the extent that They produce chemical that burn. They do research. They do research that is connected to the military. Was it struck by some agents, or was it an infiltration case? I don't know. Or was it a case of just the pressure of the war has led these workers to be more nervous or more, there's more demands on them and they were less careful? I don't know. But it's not hard to imagine how this could be linked to some extent to the Ukraine war. Agent PSI says likely an act of sabotage, but Kremlin will not admit it. I've heard many things like this about the Kremlin. Oh, they will not acknowledge it. And I don't know, it's such a double standard. I don't like treating Russia like this because no one treats the US like this. People believe what the US has to say on their words, and sometimes they do lie. And no one is saying whenever there's a statement on an official event, oh my God, they will not recognize what happened. It's always with Russia that we see this. And by the way, we've had some haters on the Telegram channel. I don't know why. I think that they came in relation to Coach Red Pill. Lots of Coach Red Pill haters, and they come to hate and they come to attack me. One of them had this to say. He says, "What is your thoughts about Chechen Muslims raping Ukrainian women and children in Mariupol while yelling Allahu Akbar, taking the city? Would be interesting to know your thoughts." The thing is, I think I'm good at what I do in terms of journalism, and I think that if there was a video of Chechen soldiers raping women while yelling Allahu Akbar, I think I would have heard of it. This doesn't exist. These people are coming to the Telegram and they're trying to fight with me. My position on rape has always been the same. And it's before the war and after the war, it will always be the same. Show me a video of the rape and I will denunciate it. Show me some evidence that the rape has happened and I'm against rape. But how much rape is there for real compared to the fear of rape, the false allegations of rape? No one has ever done this study. See, this is something we would need. What's the amount of actual rape in the world? I want to know, and I want to, as long as we don't deploy techniques to distinguish the false claims from the true claims, we will never know. Because the left is stuck with this kind of self-reinforcing framework that there's so much more rape than whatever we know. The rape is out there, you know? And this kind of framework, you never get to know the truth. You never get to know what's the actual amount of rape. I'm against rape, but I think that in a situation of war like this in Ukraine, people will have interest at making it look like there's more happening than really is happening. And so no, I don't think you got what you got the facts to back what you claim has happened. And he says, "Allahu Akbar, oh wow, so based, very red-pilled. I'm sure the half a million white Ukrainians who lived in Mariupol before February 24 are grateful for their rape liberators destroying 95% of their beautiful city. 21,000 dead civilians got denazified. JF, support this? Yes, you have a lot of explaining to do, JF." His name is Stephen Abrillon. That he's heckling me on the Telegram. Yes, war leads to destruction. But the destruction of Mariupol has been caused by the fact that the people who decided to defend Ukraine decided to lead urban warfare. So I understand that one of the consequences of war is the destruction of the sites where the war happens, but it's a decision of the Ukraine side to be defending within civilian infrastructure. So the consequence of it is you're going to lose, if you lose the war, you're going to lose a lot of the civilian infrastructure. As far as I'm concerned, this is not something that Russia would have wanted to do. If Russia had had an opportunity to engage in a military-to-military confrontation, they wouldn't have wanted to destroy Mariupol, because Mariupol is more valuable to them intact than it is destroyed. So I get that you may be frustrated against the destruction of Mariupol, but I don't think it is one way in terms of the guilt of why this happened and who could have stopped it from happening. It doesn't all bear on the shoulders of Russia, in my view. So other than this, okay, you can hate me because I don't like Ukraine. Go ahead, hate me. But other than this, I don't think I'm contradicting myself, and I think my position is based in an estimation of who caused what in this war. And it's not true that it's all on the back of Russia. There were people suffering, and there were people raped, and there were destruction of civilian infrastructure even before Russia got into any of it. So who's going to stand for the good people of the DPR and LPR who were getting their ass kicked before Russia came in? GG says, I'm still a fan of the show, but recently I can only watch the video after the live is complete. The media could not be loaded, either because the server or network failed or because the format is not supported. Well, this looks like a browser problem, GG. So I would recommend try another browser. Firestarter says, I'm using Brave browser on Windows 10. Maybe you need to update. And GG says, perhaps it's just temporary network issues that only apply to the live streams. After 15 minutes of refresh, I'm now able to watch. Well, I'm sad that this is happening, but I'm sure that there's a way to fix it in a more permanent fashion. Because this message is the message that Odyssey gives when there's a problem connecting to the video with your browser. So I would explore different browser. Try Google Chrome. Try Brave browser. And I think you have a chance that this will be fixed. Total Grimm says, why are there still women there? They could have been evacuated 2 months ago. Exactly. There's a part of the guilt here. First, I'm not sure there's widespread rape happening in Mariupol right now, okay? There's just no evidence that this is happening. But yes, the question, why didn't they leave? Because we knew very well that this was coming. I've said it very early in the war, there's your opportunity to flee, and it didn't happen. Thomas O'Ward says, JF should explain the 109 separate censored video recorded incidents of death by masturbatory machines and murder coasters in Mariupol that have reportedly occurred in just the last day. JF? I heard about it on Telegram. Yeah, sometimes that's how I feel. They are heckling me. He says, the guy who was complaining says, I'm not a leftist and I've even bought your book. I've listened to you since 2016, but disappointed on your current biased take. Well, I've answered to you live tonight on the show. I mean, be disappointed about my take. The thing is, you seem to have a one-way take on this. It's all of the fault of Russia. And I would invite you to consider the possibility that your brain is rejecting part of the why this war is happening and who caused what in this war. It seems that you're talking about the violence of one side, and you're kind of lying about it, or at least you're bringing unsupported allegations about it, but you're not talking about the violence of the other side. Do you agree with what Ukraine was doing to DPR and LPR? Do you think someone stopping them is a good thing? I'd like to hear you on this. And hopefully I could get you to reach some kind of middle where you can still hate me or you can still be disappointed in me, but you can realize where that you can come from the other side. Mark D sends a super chat. Thank you so much for supporting the show. He says, "Salut JF, I enjoy you sharing your perspective on current events. Amazing that I get better journalism from your shows than from those whose job it officially is to inform us. I wish I could redirect to you my not so voluntary, though, through the taxes I pay, contributions to Radio Canada. Merci." Oh yeah, it's stunning. I mean, these guys are getting like $500 million a year, and you look at CBC and Radio Canada broadcast, it's not super informative, and it's a lot of the yapping of whatever lie the CIA wants you to hear. And it's a Canadian organization. Like, why would you make yourself so much in line with the warmongering Americans? Bird Flu says Jeff should get Steve Paikin on the show. I don't know who that is. I'll have to research. Elon Musk, SpaceX blocked Russian electromagnetic attack in Ukraine. So apparently the Russians have tried to send jamming signals, electromagnetic attacks on the satellites of SpaceX. And SpaceX was, I believe it's in relation to the free internet that they gave in Ukraine. It seems that SpaceX, though, was able to reprogram their satellite and ignore the jamming signal. Meanwhile, our friend Coach Red Pill, still no update. However, first they deleted traces of him on Wikipedia. That is so revolting. Wikipedia should be the next purchase for Elon Musk because Wikipedia is bad in terms of representing the current state of journalism, independent thinkers, independent people of the internet. Wikipedia is like, no, you need to be covered in CNN to be a subject worth addressing. And even Coach Red Pill, at this point, he got coverage in CNN. He got coverage in CNN Chile. And no, they still delete his stuff. He's a self-promoted entity. And it's always the self-promoted entity of the side they don't like. It's always the right. It's always the manosphere. These people don't exist on Wikipedia. What a crappy website. I hope that Elon Musk buys it for $2. Where is Gonzalo Lira? We still don't know any update from yesterday. However, people have started sharing this, and Millennial Woes sent me this on Telegram. It's a video of Coach Red Pill that I didn't know about. It's a Patreon video that he had done. And it reveals that my take on Coach Red Pill has been right on target. Many times I've even been criticized for saying this in the last few weeks, but I've taken his potential death with a smile and with a laugh, and I've been chill about it. I've not been crying on stream. I've been kind of celebrating the life of CRP rather than weeping for his death. And what I didn't know, but what I knew from his action is I think Coach Red Pill has decided to die. And I don't want to say this in a way that removes any of the value that he's done. To the contrary, I think that if Coach Red Pill went out there and decided to give the end of his life to a cause, to make a statement with his death, I think it's commendable. And I think he's awakened a lot of people, given how his Telegram channel was his Telegram channel was growing. But the fact is, Coach Red Pill was about to die, and that I didn't know at all. He is stating that in this video, which is kind of dated a little bit, he's saying that he has, at best, 18 months to 24 months left to live.
Medical condition here.
Recently, I found out that it is unlikely I'm going to live very long because of a heart condition.
Of course. Anyway, so you
Twitter video is crap, okay? Crap. Even the other creators that I'm trying to play, they're lagging and they have hang-ups. So yeah, Coach Red Pill had a heart condition and he knew he was going to die. So when he told me, in private just before he came on the show, he said, "Jeff, I want to do something different." That was probably what he knew to be the last thing he would do in his life. So I'm more and more convinced that Coach Red Pill chose to use the last moments of his life to make an international statement, something that would resonate. And that's probably why he chose to go in Kharkov. He didn't care. He just wanted to use his time in the most productive way and expose the Zelensky regime by showing that by streaming against a bunch of billionaires, these billionaires would end up making sure that he would be captured and killed. Coach Red Pill chose death, and that's commendable, and I have no... That's why I'm not condescending. You see, people were saying, "Oh, JF, why don't you cry?" I'm not going to condescend upon a man who has chosen to give his life, to give the little bit of life that was remaining to him to make a statement. I think it's a beautiful way to die, and I'm impressed. It has resonated across mainstream media, and there's still more to come. Eventually, people will say on the internet, we will all say together, his name was Gonzalo Lira. And every time we remember his death, we will remember the sickness of the regime of Zelensky, which he's been criticizing and which he's been probably or possibly killed for criticizing. People were sending me this news item about the metaverse. You could become immortal in the metaverse with new live forever mode. So apparently it's a mode that scans your normal behavior, and it then produces a virtual version of yourself so that your loved ones can still speak to you after you're dead. You will be living as a an entity, a virtual entity that your loved ones can interact with. But see, I was linking, I think there's a link between this and the Coach Red Pill thing. I think that this whole live forever movement and the transhumanism that comes with it and the dream that people have of uploading themselves to the metaverse, all of this is very bad for human condition. I think that there is something beautiful about death, about the fact that there's an end. And see how Coach Red Pill used that ending of his life. He knew that he didn't have much time left. He knew that he had a heart condition and that he was going to die for sure in the next few years, at best. And he knew that it wouldn't get fixed, that he wouldn't get surgery. It was done. And he chose to make a statement about it. When you are in the transhumanist, upload your mind, live forever crowd, there's no such moment. And you die with the illusion that it will keep going. And you even create that illusion for your loved ones. I think it's a bad thing. I prefer respecting death for what it is and appreciating it as an aspect of life. Stephen J. James says, "Unless you say something based, and then they'll erase all trace of your existence ever." Yeah. What happens if I sign a contract with Facebook or whatever that guarantees my existence forever in the metaverse. And then what happens if my virtual self is too based for the future? That is a very important interrogation. Will censorship end up killing people for good? I mean, the last fragments of their existence will be on the metaverse, and then their virtual self will get deleted by some bureaucrat who decides that there's a bunch of new rules in place. Absolutely worrying. CNN Plus is shutting down. We had confirmed yesterday that they are firing all of their leaders, but it seems to be serious. They're going to completely shut down the whole thing 1 month after their launch. Discovery has reportedly decided to shut down CNN Plus, CNN's ill-fated streaming service, 1 month after its launch. That's beautiful, because it's a bunch of people who wanted to surf on a business they don't understand. Streaming cannot be a professional thing that you do, like with the whole professional format of a CNN stream. Streaming is a different thing. And that's why people have decided to turn their eyes away from cable TV and they went to streaming. It's not the streaming. It's the human aspect of it that matters. Arizona top water official, we're going to have to live with less water. This is really getting to be a health and safety issue. The health and safety of those who want to turn on the tap and have water. I never thought this day would come this quickly, but I think we always knew that this day was potentially out there. Lake Powell water level. Okay, it's a drop, but it's a drop with a modified y-axis. So there's still water, but it's going down, which is a perfect moment to learn plumbing, isn't it? So that I can make my own systems of water. I mean, we're already on a well. I think that there are some countries will rise and fall according to their access to water. I believe, you know, we've been saying this 10 years ago, there was memes around, you know, water becoming the new gold or the new oil. I think it's going to come. It has to come. It's all a matter of number of people and how much they consume, and eventually there's a lack. And countries like Canada will be totally fine. We have water seeping through our soil. We have too much of it. Eventually I could become a water exporter. I could send some ice water to you guys in the US and make money from it. Chinese military test new hypersonic missile ahead of talks between US, China defense leaders. This is a missile launch circulating from social media on April 19th, and apparently it was unknown that the test had been going on. Very interestingly, it is a hypersonic missile, one of these hypersonic missiles that can go extremely quick, that has defenses against the anti-missile defenses. So very interesting, and it's good that the enemies of the US or the competitors to the US are getting equivalent force. Quite frankly, explosive. Wuhan lab allowed to destroy secret files under its partnership with US National Lab. The Wuhan Institute of Virology has the right to make a partnering US lab wipe all data arising from their collaborative work, a legal document reveals. A memorandum of understanding of cooperation signed between the Wuhan lab and the Galveston National Laboratory at the University of Texas makes it obligatory for each of the two labs to delete secret files or materials upon the request of the other party. The party is entitled to ask the other to destroy and/or return the secret files, materials, and equipments without any backups. So, if you were wondering, is it a practice of the Chinese government how they cleaned up all these labs to erase evidence? Yes, it's even in their contract. So they even had the power to force an American entity to be in with them with the secret. So if they were saying to this entity, delete any evidence that we did that or this, they were forced to do so. Extremely unethical, extremely dangerous, and extremely untraceable methods for handling data. We should be careful collaborating with China on anything or funding Chinese projects given these practices. Top prosecutor drops out of the Whitmer kidnapping case. We recently discussed the collapse of the Whitmer kidnapping case, but now we learn that the top attorney has decided, Jonathan Rat has decided to withdraw from the case. Of course, we don't get to know exactly why, but it's probably related to the lack of success and how this case has been a fiction mounted from the beginning. It's been a fiction between feds who were trying to incite a group to do that in the end. They were trying to entrap them into committing a crime that wouldn't have occurred if they weren't there. Riding the Tiger says, Jeff, this is standard practice in drafting NDAs. Well, it's certainly not standard practice in science, let me tell you. You may have this in NDAs related to corporate work, but in university-funded science, I've never seen such language. You should be able, the researcher should be able to share findings with the public, with whoever he wants, and share data. That would be unethical within the domain of science. I would understand in kind of private companies trying to develop intellectual property. I would understand in the domain of Hollywood and all, but it's certainly not a standard practice in the university research sector. As far as the war goes, not much progress other than bombardments. We've seen bombardments in Mykolaiv. We've heard artillery, Mykolaiv, Zaporizhzhia, and around Dnipro, Mariupol also. One thing that's new. People are asking me about Lyra01 Real. So there's a new Twitter account that claims to be Coach Red Pill, and there's no way to verify this. And it would be extremely easy for Coach Red Pill, if he has access to the internet, to confirm with someone like me, where I could stand publicly and say, I can confirm that Coach Red Pill has sent me an email from a known contact with me. But he didn't do that. So it's just an account on Twitter that was started. And I will not believe that it's Coach Red Pill until I get a DM confirmation or an email confirmation by someone trustable who could stand on the public space and say, I can verify that this is Coach Red Pill. To me, it looks like some random guy started a Lyra01 real Twitter account just to attract eyes and to surf on the memetics of it. I will not believe that this is Coach Red Pill. It would be very easy. Coach Red Pill has a history of emails with me. He can easily send me an email. He can send an email to any journalist, any of the podcasts that we're inviting him, and they could confirm that he's the right one, he's the real one. That doesn't look to me like it's a genuine thing. All right, the war. So the lines have not advanced. We are still. One thing that we learned is that Mariupol. Vladimir Putin has made the decision concerning Mariupol and the last standing Azov battalion. He decided to make a long-term siege and he will not attack them. He says that the reason that motivates him is the security, the safety of his own troops. he doesn't want his own troops to be engaged in close urban warfare in with underground tunnels and everything. So he has ordered the army to start a long-term siege of Mariupol. He said that make sure that there is not a fly that can pass through the line. So basically they're going to totally circle this place of the Azovstal steel factory. And they're just going to wait. And he said to anyone who wants to leave that place, we will treat you humanely. We will give you food. We will give you all the medical care that you need. But he's not sending his soldiers in because he says it's not needed right now. It's not something that will that will improve the situation in any way. And time is on his side. So Vladimir Putin announcing the siege of Mariupol rather than trying to win a fight. I think it's the best. So I think it will give opportunities for certain of the civilians that could still be stuck there to maybe starve a little bit a couple of days and eventually take Vladimir Putin's offer. And I think that also some of the fighters eventually will run out of supply and they will realize that their only way to survive is to accept getting arrested. So good decision. In general, that was my idea of the war, that Vladimir Putin shouldn't seek to control every single street. He should just seek to impose a starving and painful regime over time and let time work on his side. John Drake says they could use bunker busters. The bombs can be used? I wonder. I mean, I think they could, but then the problem is then you are faced with all of the humanitarian consequences, and you know you can't know in a bunker whether there's Azov battalion people or civilians or women being held there. And at this point, it's very probable that the remaining Azov battalions are basically paired very closely to civilians. That's the strategy. And so if you go for the big hard boom, the problem is you're going to be faced with accusations that you've killed civilians. So if time is on your side, there's no reason to do this. I don't think that the Mariupol, that they are currently in a state where they can fight back anyway. So let them reflect on their stance. Stephen J. James says, smoke him out. Even that, is it worth it? Is it worth it? I don't think so. I mean, it's interesting from a tactical perspective, and I'd love seeing how this can be pulled, but do you really need to smoke them out when time is on your side, when they've already been lacking food and water? And just let time pass, because smoke him out, this will result in accusations of the use of chemical weapon, which, by the way, you know, some of these chemical weapons, claimed chemical weapons, are basically the equivalent of tear gas and that kind of stuff. That would qualify as chemical weapons under certain circumstances, yet we use them on our own civilian population. So instead of being accused of this, just let it go. It's not like controlling Mariupol will change the effort that this war is, will start producing stuff for Russia. Mariupol is completely destroyed, so there's no chance that it can serve in the short term. So let a week pass, 2 weeks, and see what happens. Two Russian missiles targeted near a bridge in Zarapidzidzia, damaging train, and Koritsia Island, damaging a building. Total 8 people wounded. We see some of the damage on the windows of this building. We see footage of a Russian Ka-52 attack helicopter getting shot by a MenPad. So, unfortunately, here, a Russian helicopter, we see it here, and you're going to see a missile, boom, come from the ground, targeted it. This is what what the men pads do. This is why Ukraine relies on receiving so much of this anti-air defense. This anti-air defense ends up destroying Russian equipment, Russian aircrafts, and Russian lives. This is why America is furnishing these tools of war. Meanwhile, Israel is using the opportunity to bombard Gaza a little bit. Israeli fighter jets strike Gaza after rockets are launched into Israel. Several rockets were fired into southern Israel from the Gaza Strip early Thursday, while Israeli planes launched airstrikes against targets in Gaza. There have not been any reports of casualties or damage. The cross-border fire comes as Israeli-Palestinian tensions continue to rise. The AP reports there have been repeated clashes between Israeli police and Palestinians at the Al-Aqsa Mosque, a holy site for both Muslims and Jews. Yes, I've seen these videos. It was maybe a week ago. And it seems that the Israeli police is getting in and somehow pushing and assaulting the Palestinian Muslims who are doing prayers. But this we've seen again and again during the last few decades, so I don't know what it indicates. But that's the situation, a situation of tension between Israel and Palestine. Here we can see a aircraft being shot again. It seems to be a Russian aircraft shot by Ukrainian defenses. And one of the pieces, I believe, is a parachute of the driver ejecting himself. Oh, not the piece I was pointing. It seems that the piece I was pointing is on fire. Well, it has dropped toward the ground. So a lot of equipment lost. And that was the announcement by Putin. Putin ordered Shoigu to cancel assault on Azovstal and impose siege on it. Excellent decision. And we have a Russian tank that rolled on a mine in Mariupol during the fighting on the streets. Look at this. This tank here. So first the tank has shot a round, and then it's going to step on a mine. Wow. Extremely destructive. Even if those tanks are very strong, this is massive explosions. I guess it must at the very least break the tracks and perhaps even kill the people inside from just the shockwave. Extremely worrying images of war, but that is what war is. That was it for all of my news today, so unless you guys had subjects you wanted to bring and cover, we're going to be headed toward the conclusion of the show. Lodazal says, one attack helicopters, grandma is too many. What does that mean? I don't get it. DK Shadow says, the armor on the bottom is among the weakest. Yeah, that's what I'm suspecting. Because many times I've seen these tanks being destroyed from the bottom, sometimes with their tracks exploded, and it renders the tanks completely useless. So I guess it's strategically the best thing to do. Instead of wasting bullets on something that is bulletproof, just attack the tank from the bottom and render it invalid. M says, liberals conspired to ruin Johnny Depp. Will he prevail in court against insane woman? I think he has a good chance. I think he's dropping a good defense here. And we've seen many of these cases end up, like Augustus Sol Invictus, our friend, has been found not guilty. So it seems that there's an openness of the court system to understand that on the mere basis of allegation, we won't find people guilty, which is reassuring because it's how the court system is supposed to work. But I've been increasingly worried with all this Me Too movement and the general transformation of our justice system into a witch hunt machine. But yeah, I think Johnny Depp has a very good chance. Because what are we talking about here? We're talking about allegations. And she will have nothing, not much more than her statement. And perhaps statement of supporting families and friends, but I don't think she has video evidence of any act of abuse having happened. So I think there's a good chance. There's a good chance. Just that says, why are guys like Depp, Pitt, and Will Smith getting lampooned in the MSM? Well, I think it's a continuation of the general cancel culture against men. I think that there is increasingly this strategy being put forward by matriarchal forces to be pairing any man of worth and public value, if you will, any man who's high in the hierarchy is being paired with a woman who can use false allegations against them to pull them down. This is what has been done with many men, like many YouTubers, including me. You have your exes who start trying to talk to the media so that it pieces can be written about you. It's been pulled on Andrew Cuomo. It's been pulled on Johnny Depp. It's being pulled against Will Smith. It's going to be again and again because I think there is something about how women see the social ladder. And I think they perceive their power over that social ladder as being mostly destructive rather than constructive. I think that women have realized, okay, I will not elevate myself that much. I won't become an astronaut or an astrophysicist, but I can make sure that one astrophysicist goes down. So they pull down rather than up on the social ladder. And it's a war against heterosexuality at the same time because it basically adds to the risk to heterosexual males. There are now people who will dream of having a public career or to have some kind of social standing in society, and they'll think twice before they engage in even legal sex because you now know that legal sex will lead you to some problems down the line because the woman will claim that she's been beaten or that she's been forced. I mean, we've seen so many instances of women basically just regretting the sex and going after their exes, including Donald Trump. So what does, I mean, Donald Trump had 14 women during his campaign do that. So what we have to develop is a society that is completely opaque to this kind of force, to any woman who comes to us and says, you know, Donald Trump touched my boobs, blah blah blah, and oh, at the beginning I liked it, but then I don't know, I was feeling uncomfortable, but then I didn't say it. We have to look at them and say, ha 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 ha. We'll be right back.